Ben Thompson from Best Swines in Great Western. Morning, Ben.
Morning, Simon. How are you today?
Going well, mate. Thank you. How are you going? It's obviously some part in the middle of vintage. Where are you up to?
We're sort of roughly through halfway through our vintage at the moment. We've had got in our Pinots and Rieslings. At the moment, we're actually bringing in our Shiraz for our white Shiraz bubbles, which is a bit of something new we're trying.
Yeah, wow.
And, it went quite well last year. We did a little trial last year and it went well. So, and now we'll probably move on to doing some rosés. And then I think by the end of the week, we'll be into our table wine Shirazes.
And is that the last of it then, or is...
That will be the last, yep. Yes. It's just, yep, depending on, we have a number of different sites, so they all sort of ripen a little bit different aspects, different angles, different soils. So some of them are still sitting on 12 Bome, some are 13, some are 13.2, so they're all over the shop. And we've still got our old Thompson family and our 100-year-old stuff, or 150-year-old stuff to still come in as well.
Yeah, wow. Gee. And so it's a lot of testing and tasting and just, yeah, kind of making, yeah, sure you weather permitting, that you get it on exactly the right moment that you want it.
Well, this is the important part. If you get it in right, that's half the job done, sort of thing. So if you can get it into the winery right, you've got a lot better chance of making good wine and stuff. So and it's quite important to make sure you get, test right, get your flavours right and all that, then bring it in, and then half the job's done, sort of thing. Kind of.
Now it's up to you to bugger it up, right?
No, I'm not. Wow, yeah, you could say that. I do have a saying about that, but I won't say it on air. Sort of.
Right, okay. that's around the campfire sort of one, isn't,
yeah,
it?
Yeah,
or at,
yeah,
the pub.
But no, everything looks pretty good at the moment. Like, it's been a strange year, starting from last year when they said it was going to be an El Nino, dry as chips and all that, and so everyone sort of prepared for a dry year, and then it didn't stop raining, sort,
yeah,
of thing, up until December, so it caught everyone a little bit off guard. The tonnages seemed to be up, with all that extra rain in the spring.
Yep.
Seemed to have set, quite good crops. Riesling crops have been exceptional. For us to get sort of 10 tonnes of a hectare, 9, 10 tonnes of a hectare around here for Riesling is... Very good.
Yeah,
exceptional, true, actually, for our region.
And it's, the quality's obviously still, yeah, there at that level.
No, it all still looks really, yeah, good. I've had no disease at all, no real issues, considering, it was wet and we were planning for dry and it ended up wet, so we've ended up not too bad, actually. And I think the general region's been like that as well, actually. Everyone seems to have managed their vineyards pretty well and kept their fruit in pretty good condition.
That's great. Yeah, it's a great part of the world, isn't it? I was just mentioning a pub at Lionville, which is kind of out your way a bit, on the way,
yep,
anyway, to you guys. So what is the visitation like in the sort of normal weekends and things for you guys?
Visitation's been good. I've got to admit, it has dropped off a little bit lately, but I think that's economics and, yep, things like that. But we get a lot of trade from coming in from Halls Gap and that, so it's quite good. But, we could always do with more tourists, especially at the west of Melbourne. It's good.
Yeah, well, there's some fun things to do, like the drives at
Sepples, yes. they're really interesting, and we've got our old cellars here as well.
Yep.
People can do a self-guided tour.
We can, yeah, good.
Yeah, to the tour. We have cheese platters and things. You can sit down and have a cheese platter or, proper tastings, where we pay for tasting, an icon tasting or premium tastings and things like that, which is good, which is, I think, since the COVID thing, it's made everyone sort of rethink the old stand at the bar tasting wine seems to have gone. It's more the sit down and educate people about wine, and it seems to be really working.
Yeah, I reckon it's actually a really good change, to be honest, because, yes, you're paying for a tasting, which is an adjustment from the old days, but you're also not standing, with three other groups at a bench with one person trying to look after you and keep track and try and fill you in on a bit of the information before then the next one wants their wine. And, you get a real experience and a real story, don't you?
Yeah, you do. And I think that's the big thing. If you get people in the cellar door and they have an experience, they don't even know it, but they become your brand ambassador. So if they have a great experience in their cellar, in your cellar door, they go away. They may not buy anything, but they go away and they tell someone, oh, you should go here or you should go there or go to this region and that. So if you have a great experience somewhere, it always is a positive thing.
Yeah.
And subconsciously people talk about you.
Totally. And, you know, next time they see your wine on a wine list that's in their price range, they'll prioritise that because they go, oh, I remember they're going there, you know, and there's this and that. And then also, you know, buying a bottle or whatever from that day, when you do eventually drink it, you know, you're taken back to that experience. So it's nothing beats that as far as the brand, you know.
Brand awareness and brand,
and
brand knowledge.
Just getting involved with the brand too. You know, it's different than grabbing it off the shelf at a bottle shop.
It is.
You know, where there's really no story except what's written on the back of the label. So,
and I think with our place, it's because it's all very old and quirky. You've sort of, once you come there, you've actually got to sort of feel the place. Yeah. I don't get it anymore because I'm there all the time. But when you walk in, you go, wow, I'm actually walking back in history. You know, we started in the 1860s, and we've still got Henry Best's original diary and all that in there. You can read and well, under glass you can look at and all that sort of stuff. So it's you've got to feel the place. Their cellar door is an old horse stable, which we shifted. That's our cellar door and lots of photos and memorabilia around.
That's unreal. It is such a long-standing brand, obviously, 1860s, fair time. We encourage our listeners, and I might just give the number again for the text line, which is 0456 965 965. Now, Christopher is one of our regular contributors, and he has a question for you. So he said he's a big fan of the Bart's Block Shiraz, and he's asking, do you still make that wine? That's a question.
No, we don't make the Bart's Block. That was made for our 150th.
Oh.
But we will... We don't know, but there's every chance we will do another one again.
Yep. Just need a significant reason, I guess.
Yeah, well, we're coming up to our Thompson's running best in a number of years, so we'll probably do another thing then. But quite often we'll make decisions on the fly. Like if we see a really special parcel, we go, hang on, this looks flash. Let's keep this aside and, wow, hang on, we can do something. We can really do something with that.
So interesting. Yeah.
I'll never say it's not going to be made again. like with our quirky, we were sitting around the table last year and I said, let's make a white Shiraz Bubbles. And everyone looked at me, scratched their head and said, you're a nutcase. And anyway, we done it. And my wife just absolutely loves it.
Right. So now you have to make it every year. Look out!
Well, it's going, and it's just trying to be inventive. Like there's so much Shiraz out in the world, we've got to think of other options and alternatives, and just try and think outside the square a bit what we can do because it's pretty tough in the wine industry at the moment.
It's
extremely tough. So we're just going to try and think of anything we can do, little edges or thoughts or ideas that are all on the table.
It's often, if you're fortunate enough that your setup allows you to have a little bit of experimentation, and if it goes wrong, then you ditch it, and it hasn't ruined the whole harvest for you. But
no.
Yeah, that's part of the fun too, isn't it?
Well, we did a couple of barrel ferments, bucket ferments of some wines we have in our nursery block. We tried a hash 22. Last year, which was one of the varieties, and I can't remember the other one. Fur, we're going to try fur this year, which is in the nursery block of fur, FUR.
Right.
We made one a number of years ago, and I completely forgot we made it actually. And like it was only like 2 dozen bottles or 3 dozen bottles. It's just a bucket ferment, and we had a bottle the other night. And we go, hang on, wow.
So what's it like? Is it a red or a white?
It's a red.
Yeah.
We made it in 2019, and it's sort of like a Pinot. It's a lighter style, but it's a bit fruitier. I was very surprised when I tried it. So we're going to do a few more, we'll try a few more bucket ferments of that this year, and it might be something we'll look at and go, well, hang on, this might have potential. Let's plan a bit of this sort of thing. And that's off our original 1860s block as well.
Gee.
So that could be, you know,
a big work in progress.
There's only about 9 vines left, and then we did another replanting just to try and preserve them a bit when we had the drought. So we planted 12 vines of each in another block just to try and keep the history of those vines going.
It's just extraordinary, isn't it, 1860? Now, the second part of Christopher's question was, we're referencing Bart's block, which obviously was for the 150th.
Yes.
So how would you say it differentiates from the number one and the Thompson family Shiraz?
It's just a single block on its own. Well, yep. Thompson family is a single block on its own as well. But that one just came off a Pacific block. It's called Bart's block because it was planted in 66 and Bart was born in 66. Mm-hmm. So those vines specifically came off that block, and we thought it looked pretty exceptional that year, and we're actually targeting something for our 150th to do just a little bit more, use a bit more expensive oak, just treat a little bit different, push the boundaries, you know, just a little bit more to look at it sort of thing. So I don't think it's up with our Thompson family. Oh, it's not far off the Thompson family, but and that was the main reason, just to try, you know, something for our 150, something special to celebrate that we can put away.
Yeah, a little bit special, sort of similar but different. Yeah. But the difference with the Thompson family Shiraz is that you can get it more often.
Yeah. Well, to be honest, with the Thompson family, I work on 3 out of 5 years.
Yeah, right.
Getting a Thompson family there. That's off the original 1860s block as well. They're all dry growing and everything. So my main target with Thompson families to keep them alive. That's my first priority.
Yeah, right.
If we get fruit off them and it's good, we'll make a Thompson family. But with the dry conditions of, well, not the last 2 years, but the number of years before that, we've got very little crop off them because they get very stressed, you know, and they drop their leaves and that. But so I generally work on 3 out of 5 years getting a Thompson family because, you know, they're still working pretty hard. I don't think I can work that hard when I'm 153 years old.
I reckon you'd need a little afternoon nap here.
Yeah, so generally, you know, they're dry growing, they're all on their own.
Yeah,
wow. So, like I said, I generally work on just a 3 out of 5 years getting a Thompson family. If we can get 5 out of 5, it's all good.
Mm-hmm.
And if it doesn't come up to the quality, we just won't make the wine. I'm not going to try and trick people and say, because
it's not worth,
you know,
it.
People, it's, nah, really, people say it's not as good, and I go, oh. You know,
yeah, they've gone off and all that. Yeah,
there's dodgy brothers.
Yeah, and this adds to the credibility, really, and the mystique of the wine. To really only do it when it hits the mark.
Yeah, honesty, truthfulness, and integrity. That's totally my motto.
Totally. Now I want to ask you in a moment, given we're talking about old vines and things. So about your Pinot vines, and because you've just released your Pinots, but just before that, Tony sent in a question asking about the white Shiraz, the sparkling white Shiraz. Is that going to be available for sale, or is it already?
Yeah. Oh, it's already for sale,
So online.
It was that successful. It's nearly sold out.
Oh, right. Well, hurry up then, Tony.
No, it's, to be honest, for me, for our first attempt at it, I think it's bloody good for a first attempt. So now we're doing our second attempt. So learned a few things of what we can do and what we can't do, and, you know, we're smoothing the process down. So we made a couple of hundred dozen last year. We're making, I think it's about 2,500 dozen this year because it's been so successful. But we think we can get the wine even better again.
Okay, so one for everyone to follow. 100%.
Yeah,
and it's available online for until it runs out this
Yeah, potential. Available online. Yes.
Excellent. Now, tell us about the Pinots that you released, and then tell us that the backstory of the and how they are the oldest vines in the world, or Pinot
well,
vines.
Well, I'm not going to say they're the oldest.
Might be. Let's say that.
I have a suspicion.
One of the oldest.
They could be the oldest Pinot in the world. We're not 100% sure, but we've never had phylloxera here, and phylloxera is a little aphid that attacks the vine roots and kills your vines eventually. And we've never had it, whereas most of Europe and America and all that had phylloxera and had to pull their vines out and replant. So we've never had to replant, and they were planted in 1868. So our suspicion is that they could be the oldest Pinot Noir, Pinot Meunier. We also have Dolcetto from 1877, so there's a chance that could be the oldest Dolcetto as well. And there's varieties inside our nursery block. We were planted in 1868, and there's still some unknown in there. So I would say for sure there'll be some varieties in there which would definitely be the oldest in the world. So I remember when I was younger, a young bloke, I was going to rip them all out because I was waste of time mucking around with these old vines and all that sort of stuff. You know,
young just get new rush ones, right?
Yeah, young and a rush of blood and all that sort of stuff. And as I get older, I thought, wow, this is quite, economically it's a disaster, but historically I think it's quite invaluable.
Yeah.
And what I would actually like to do, try and do, is get some help from the National Trust or something to try and actually preserve, do a whole replanting, a proper one. At the moment, the nursery block, they're just fine scattered everywhere. Like there's two Ondent, one Shiraz, two Fur, one Cayenne. They're all just mixed up through the row. So when we hand pick it, we go through and hand pick out the whites, and then we go through and hand pick out the reds. And it's a great bottle of wine for a game of options. Because no one will ever get that.
Even you, mate.
No, I wouldn't have a clue. I could get it if I had the list in front of me. I could name all. It's just a blend of all these different whites. So I think it's quite invaluable for the Australian wine industry to try and preserve it. As I get older, I get a bit smarter. Nothing's really important until it's gone.
Yeah.
Yep. And once it's gone, you can't do anything about it. So I don't want to be the person that says, oh, geez, best should have looked after this, best should have done that, should have done this. I'd like to try and do something, because it's just really for the Australian history. And like I said, there'll be varieties in there that may not be anywhere else in the world, or these are the oldest.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say they are the oldest, but we have suspicions.
Well, and I think that's good enough, really, as in, you know, no one... you'll get shouted down from Europe 100%, right?
Oh, but, for sure.
But then they're really not 100% sure either. So it's, you know, it's a very small field who would be in the running for the oldest. So let's go with that. We did an outside broadcast during the year, last year in Barossa. And
right.
A similar thing to what you're saying. So we're at Langmile and they were talking about this block of super old vines. The discussion at the time when the vine pool was happening was, oh, let's just rip them out and put a whole new block of whatever. And they fought and fought and fought. Like the old timers in the region, you know, fought for all of these iconic blocks through the region to save them, and they managed to do that because it was going to be the government directive. And same thing. Now they've got these vines that have put on another, I don't know, 50, 60 years from that point. And it's just no one would even think about doing that now.
No, it's like I said, once they're gone, you can't do anything about it. It's old if gonna shoulda. Hindsight, you go, oh well, I should have kept them, but you know, once they're gone, they're gone. And I'm quite, you know, like I said, as I'm getting older, I understand it and appreciate it more. As when I was younger,
a conservationist coming out in you.
For sure. Well, we try to do everything as calm as we can and subtle as we can.
And true to yourselves. Yeah, unreal. Look, it's such a fantastic brand, and you know, you're talking about obviously two different families, the Thompsons and the Bests. When was it that the Thompsons bought the winery?
In 19, I just checked with my wife. We got the best.
What
dressing?
Oh, the not 2.41.
No, yet.
Don't worry, sorry, I put you on the spot.
No, when did the best by Thompson by best?
1920.
God, I should have known that, shouldn't I?
Yeah, that's all right. Now we all know. Thanks, Nicole.
Thanks, Nicole.
You're welcome.
Oh, sometimes I just go blank.
That's all right. That's why you got your researcher there, man.
So we had a vineyard out at Rimini before that.
Right.
And the interesting thing about part of the history of Best is in 1932 or something, I think it was around then, the bank took Best's office and right. We went up to Lake Boga. They took it off us, so I think it was like for 6 months. And then the bank didn't know what to do with it, so they gave it back to us.
Right. Well, I think that was a very good choice.
Yeah, I don't think that would happen in today's times.
No. And those old vines would be gone. And they would be gone. There'd be a house on it.
There's a house there now, which Mum and Dad still live in. So yeah, right. Dad, Mum and Dad are still there. Dad still comes out and checks on everyone every day.
He's had some advice, I'm sure, this vintage about picking dates and things.
There's always some advice from Dad. Always.
Always. Yeah, well,
always works through shaking his head. What's this thing here? What's this thing come to?
Our long-time listeners will remember Viv Thompson and having a chat with Westy many times over the years. So
yes,
the Thompson family is quite well known across this this show. So today, what's on the go? After this, where are you heading to?
After this, I'll go down to the winery. I'll see the boys down there. I think they'll be turning over reds. This morning, mm-hmm. Maybe not actually, because most of our reds, Pinots will be pressed out already. Rieslings are fermenting away in the tanks. White Shiraz, that's been taken off skins. With the white Shiraz, we pick it and put it straight into the press. They'll get it off skins as quick as we can.
Yeah.
And we don't press it that hard, so it's away, bubbling away in the tanks as well. And then I'll speak to our winemaker, Jacob, and we'll probably make a bit of a plan for next week. Mm. We've got a rough plan, but, you know, we'll look at some BOMAs and make a plan for the week coming up.
Now, I think we spoke with Jacob around the time when the Foudre Riesling won Best Wine?
Wine of the Year.
Wine of the Year, yeah. So I'm thinking it's 21 or... Can you remember the year? I can't remember. It doesn't really matter. But it was...
No, food.
Pardon?
22.
Yeah, 22, food, yeah. So yeah. Is that a wine that you...
Oh, 21. It was awarded in 22.
Yeah, I think... Yeah, that's right. Yeah. I was pretty sure it was a 21 vintage because there's someone somehow... Because it immediately sold out, obviously.
Yes.
And so the golf club that I'm member, it's they had a six pack there, and nobody at the club knows. Now they're gonna know, aren't they? There must be still.
You better sneak down there quick.
There must be still three bottles left because I've had three. So it's a bit of a gem, you know. It's like, and no one understands it because you know how do I even say Foudre? And you know, so
it's actually fermented in the barrel.
Yeah, right.
That one. Well, so it's much. You know, not traditional way of doing it. So, but I think it's an absolute
so good. And it's so young now. Like that will, I'd imagine, would it go 15 plus?
Yeah, I would think it's 10 at least, I would say.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's great. And so you'll do one of those this year as well?
Oh, yes. Yeah, the plan is to always do, as long as the fruit allows us. It's like all our wines, as long as the fruit allows us and the quality's there, we'll always do it. Yeah. And the Foudre now, we've got a bit of a following, and to be honest, I really quite like drinking it myself.
Yeah, I know. You quite often, depending how many people you got, it's very easy to find a second bottle of that.
It does
go down quite nicely.
If we want to up our volumes of Foudre, we actually need to buy another Foudre.
All right.
We had one Foudre and now we've got two Foudres.
We should explain what a Foudre is because it's sort of a it will make sense when you paint the word picture for us.
Yeah, it's a wooden barrel. It's a 2,500 litre wooden oak barrel.
So just for context, a normal barrique is how many litres and how
250.
So you're basically 10 times the size.
Yes. Yep.
So obviously much less skin contact, oak contact with the.
It just gives it a completely different flavour to your normal Riesling that's fermented in your, you know, taken off skins and fermented in stainless. So it's getting more flavour and everything in it, sort of thing. So a very different sort of process, but it just seems to it's much more textured wine.
And so with a large format, you're not going to be buying them every year, obviously.
No.
So do you have to do anything to the inside?
I won't tell you the price of it.
No, I'm not even going to ask that because Nicole's there. No, but do you need to then do anything apart from cleaning it after it's emptied? Do you need to do anything to then have it ready for the next year, or it's just it's not about imparting oak, it's more about the texture of the timber as opposed to steel, same as steel?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
It's like all wine barrels is the most important thing is just keeping them clean and free and sterile and all that. If you get one bad barrel in a batch of 100 barrels, it can put off your whole wine.
Gee,
so the most important thing is just maintaining cleanliness and all that with your barrels, and that's what we have to do with all our barrels. It doesn't matter whether a 250-litre or a 4,000-litre barrel. That's the most important thing is hygiene and keeping them clean.
Yeah,
it's the most important thing about barrels. And if you look after them right, depending on what you want to do with them, they'll last forever. Like, we still use our barrels downstairs, our 140 or 150-year-old barrels downstairs. We still use part of that for our bin one material.
Gee.
So half our bin one material will go into the small barriques and half will go into the bigger barrels. So the bigger barrels will give us the sort of the softer wood flavours. The small barrels give it intense, and then we put it together to get a...
Just blend it,
instead of being... Yeah, blend it together.
Yeah.
So we still use all that.
That's great. It's better than them getting cut in half and getting stuck in the garden.
For $50. $50 a half barrel. Well, it might be a bit more than $50 a half barrel now.
But, mate, look, thank you for give us your time and you know, reacquainting us with the next generation of Thompson winemakers for the show. But you know, just let's put you back on the list. Hey, not on, you know, it shouldn't have come off the list, but Great Western on the touring list for people, because you know, the Cellador sounds like a great experience, and the wines clearly are.
It's interesting here at Great Western. We're probably one of the oldest wine regions in Victoria, but we're probably one of the least known.
It's incredible, isn't it?
Because there's only a couple of wineries here. We're not a Yarra, and that way, you know, there's a multitude of wineries, but we're one of the oldest wine regions in Australia, and probably one of the least known.
Well, I reckon you're a half-day visit by the sounds of all the things going on. I like
the
idea.
It's a full day.
Good, yeah.
Come visit the Grampians and...
Excellent, yes.
Well, spread the love.
Yeah,
spread the love.
Exactly, and no better time than now, really. Then winter in your region's awesome. You know, I mean,
it is.
Open fires and all that sort of stuff, and your wine certainly lends itself to it. I've got one question which I should know the answer, but I'm just going to be ignorant. So the bin O and the bin 1,
yes.
What's the difference with material going to those?
Bin 1 is off our own vineyard and two of our other growers.
Yep.
Bin O is entirely off a selected parcel at our Great Western vineyard. So we have our Great Western vineyard, a Sugarloaf vineyard, our Rimney vineyard, and two growers, and that's Shiraz off Great Western, Rimney, Sugarloaf, and two of our growers. And it's a really good parcel because it gives us the options, you know, a bit of variability in different bits. But the Bin O is entirely off our Great Western, our original vineyard, which we call our Concangelo vineyard.
Excellent. Thank you for that. I will always remember that now. all right, so people, get down. The Sparkling White Shiraz is something you must go and seek out. there was soon to be none for this, but there will be another lot coming. So,
yes.
But yeah, go and visit Ben and Nicole and the gang, and have a great day down there, and then a nice weekend, you know. So,
excellent.
Good luck with the rest of vintage. We always touch wood when we talk about what hasn't come into the shed. So
we always touch wood.
But the weather, it's kind at the moment, so I'm sure everything, including the vineyard workers, are enjoying the sunshine.
Yeah, no, it's sort of cooled down a bit now. We had those two really, really hot days.
Yep.
Sort of gave everyone thought everything was going to shrivel a bit, but it's cooled down a bit now. So hopefully we don't want the BOMO to go up, the sugars to go up too much, too quick, because we'll have the flavours to follow. So.
Yeah.
But it's all looking pretty good at the moment.
Excellent. Well, fingers crossed for you, mate. And look forward to coming down and having a look at a few of your wines. So
cool.
We'll be in touch.
No worries.
Good one. Enjoy your afternoon.
Thanks, mate.
Thanks, Ben.
Bye.
See you. So that was Ben Thompson from Best in Great Western.